This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about mental health resources and awareness in the Cooley region. Winona, Minnesota is experiencing new conversations about mental health and the stigma associated with it thanks to the Alhindi family. After their son passed away from suicide in January of this year, the Alhindis have been working to start a new nonprofit in Winona to promote mental health awareness and celebrate diversity. Joining us are Carol Dahl Alhindi, mother of Solomon Alhindi and a founder of Solomon's Song. First, can you start out by, you know, telling us a little bit about your son?
Solomon was just an amazing little person and often referred to as an old soul. He came with a lot of wisdom when he was born. And he was just the type of person who really treated people with respect and had a lot of empathy towards other people. Stories we've heard since he passed, one little girl said, for example, she wrote a note and saying that he was her first friend. She was on the playground all by herself in kindergarten, didn't have any friends, and he was the first one who came over and befriended her. One of his teachers at the middle school told us during parent-teacher conferences that he was amazed by how Solomon included one of the boys in the class who had some special needs, and how he was always a person who came to make other people feel good and to make other people happy. And he was intelligent, he was inquisitive, he liked creating inventions, he had a lot of friends, and he was just an amazing little guy.
And so, you know, when he started experiencing mental health issues, I mean, did that kind of come as a surprise to the family?
There was little hints along the way, but we didn't really pick up on them necessarily. When he was saying that he was struggling, we tried to help him more than a year ago before this all happened. And we went to the hospital and they gave him a prescription, and he said he didn't want to take a pill to be normal, is what he said. The stigma of mental health really bothered him, and he said he wanted to treat it on his own. And he seemed to be doing very well and was, doing well in school. And then things started slipping. His school started slipping with something that was really, really important to him, were his grades and how he was doing in school and all that kind of stuff. And that kind of started slipping. And he started doing less and less with friends. So little signs along the way. But, when you see these signs, you oftentimes try to normalize it. Well, it's because of this or it's because of that. And it's a hard road to follow, but yeah.
Do you think any parent is really, you know, prepared when their, you know, child is starting to show, just that they're struggling with mental health? You know, do you think that, you know, parents are prepared to kind of deal with that?
I think that from my experience, and I think that a lot, maybe this is common for a lot of people, we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go with these kinds of things. We don't know who to ask. Again, the stigma makes you feel like, do I share this with people so they can help me out? Or if I share this with people, will this be, you know, looked at as a negative thing, which is one of the reasons why we decided to open this up, to try to normalize conversations around mental health so that people can ask questions, they can feel comfortable talking to other people. But I think it's a really hard road to navigate, and everybody's mental health story is so uniquely personal to them, and that it's hard to know what to do. It's really, really hard to know what's the right road to take.
Right. And that's, you know, what I was going to ask you. I mean, this loss must still be so fresh for your family, but you guys have, you know, really jumped right into being active in Winona and kind of starting these conversations. I mean, you had a fundraiser in August, the Super Soaker Fun Run, mm-hmm. and you're having another a benefit concert in October mm-hmm. coming up. You know, why was it important to you to kind of jump right in with this?
Well, we were hurting, but we also knew that there are a lot of other people hurting as well. I mean, his friends, our family, our friends. You know, his death didn't just impact our family. It impacted the community. And we were really hurting, and we thought we can just sit here and be sad, or we can funnel our energy into making a positive change. And so that's what we wanted to do. And, you know, really when I realized, when you look back at things and you see how much the stigma affected his health and his possibility of getting better, I just thought, you know what, if we can make a difference and reduce the stigma for other people, that's what we need to do. So we just really wanted to funnel our energy into something positive to help others.
Yeah, and so, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, the goals of Solomon's Song, what you guys are working towards.
So our biggest goal really is reducing stigma, but we also are working to, we're working with the public schools and the private schools in Winona to provide programming for professional development, for families, for students, to help normalize conversations around mental health. And to help people to understand the warning signs, to help people to be able to talk about it and get people through the hard times. Our ultimate goal would be to have some type of a youth center in Winona where we can really make a difference and help the teens who are struggling and need some help. There have been a lot of young people in Winona who've passed from suicide, and we'd like to see that number go down to zero if possible.
And why do you think, why do you think schools are a great place to do that?
Our kids are in school a lot, a big chunk of our day. Students and children are going to act, one may act one way at home and may act another and have different symptoms and different signs at school. I think it's a place that sometimes teachers may notice things that parents don't notice. Parents might notice things that teachers don't notice. So if we can do a collaboration and work between families and the schools, I think that is just one more way to help people to prevent them from falling through the cracks.
Mm-hmm. And another one of your goals that is listed through your organization mm-hmm. is, you know, celebrating diversity.
Absolutely.
And, you know, why is that important?
Because I think the important thing about celebrating diversity is that we're all really more alike than we are different. And once we realize that we are more alike than we're different, that other people may be struggling with the same issues that we're struggling with, but we don't know that, I think that brings about a sense of awareness and a sense of healing and a sense of community that is really important to everybody's well-being.
And so you mentioned that, you know, Solomon's passing has really, you know, affected the community in Winona. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think, you know, what has been the response to some of these fundraisers and to your organization?
The response has been amazing. For the Super Soaker Fun Fest, we were overwhelmed. We had almost 700 people come out for the Super Soaker Fun Fest. And the number of people who came up to us and thanked us for doing this, because mental health was a big part of their mental health issues have been a big part of their family or people they loved, made all the hard work worth it. All the people who had donated their time and their money and came out to show the support really proved to us that this is a time that people are ready for this conversation to start. And people want this conversation to, you know, because I have mental health issues does not mean that I'm a bad person, that I'm, quote, crazy, that I'm, you know, unstable, that I'm weak. It means that I'm struggling with an illness and I'm working hard to get better. And so I think that's the support that we have seen in Winona has been amazing and just really is a sign of how much people want this conversation to begin.
And I guess if mental illness is something that affects a lot of families, is what it sounds like, you know, you guys are understanding and realizing as you are, you know, creating this nonprofit, you know, I guess, why do you think that stigma still exists if this is, you know, a common issue?
I think it's just a matter of people being it's kind of a paradigm shift, I think, in people's minds. I mean, I think for so long this has been what we've been told and what and there's some fear behind it, I guess. And it's always been something that you don't talk about, you keep it quiet, that kind of thing. Whereas if somebody has a different illness, such as cancer or diabetes or something, it's very normal to talk about these illnesses, but for so many years it's been seen as a weakness or a character flaw rather than an illness. And the more and more research we come out and the more we learn, we realize that that it is an illness, and there are a lot of different contributing factors that can lead to these illnesses. So I think that's part of the reason.
And so, you know, as part of the Super Sober Fun Run and as, you know, part of the concert that you guys are hosting in October, you know, you're going to have mental health resources available
and
different opportunities for people to kind of learn more. Tell me a little bit about what's going to be at the October concert.
So the October concert we're super excited about. John McCutcheon is an amazing singer, songwriter, storyteller. He's an amazing instrumentalist. So the concert's going to be fun, and it's a concert for all ages. It's just it'll be a great time. Before the preceding the concert, we're having a health fair. And so at the health fair, we're going to have a variety of different businesses and organizations that promote healthy living. So we'll have organizations such as NAMI and other mental health organizations that'll be there as resources. So people have questions, want to find places that they can get therapists or they can get help, they will be there. But we also have a variety of businesses and organizations, like I said, that promote healthy living, that are ways that you can help manage your symptoms or be proactive. And so we have Yarnology, for example, who's coming. There's a lot of research out there showing that knitting and crocheting and things like that, the meditative practice of that, helps with depression and anxiety. We have Jade Acupuncture coming. So she's going to be there talking about acupuncture, and I believe she'll be doing acupuncture on people as well. We have a massage. Wayne Coolis Massage is going to come. So he's going to talk about the different ways that massage can be integrated into your health and for healthy living. So we have a variety of different organizations like that for holistic health, for different ways to promote healthy living, and then mental health organizations as resources as well.
Yeah. Why did you want to incorporate, maybe these non-traditional mm-hmm. ways of really looking at mental health?
I think that there's so many different ways that we can go about treating mental health. There's so many different therapies. We also have somebody who, Andrea Wolski, is going to be coming and talking about equine therapy and horse therapy. So that might be the connection that one person needs, might be to do equine therapy, and that might be what works best for them. Somebody else might really find the practice of knitting, taking up knitting and learning, is a great stress reliever, a great way to help them with their anxiety. There's so many different ways, and everybody reacts differently. Just as people react differently to different medications, people relate to different things, and different therapies will work for them, and different strategies will work for them. So I just think it's nice to have a variety out there and an awareness of what's out there and available to people to help themselves.
And do you think it's important that, you know, these are available in kind of a fun, lighthearted, maybe more accessible way, you know, as part of a concert, as part of, you know, the fun run?
Absolutely. That was really our main goal, is how can we present these options to people in a fun, comfortable, easily accessed way where they don't have to feel, you know, anxiety going to ask for help. So one of the reasons that we had about 10 different therapists from the Winona and La Crosse area come to our fun run. They were wearing a different colored t-shirt. They walked around, mingled within the crowd. And I've heard from several of those that they had made several really important referrals that day. And I think that it was important that it was in just a very comfortable setting, so people can feel comfortable asking for help. Because sometimes one of the biggest barriers to getting help is knowing where to find help and just getting the courage to ask for help.
And so, you know, your organization is obviously, you know, has some great goals of working with the local schools in Winona to kind of, you know, help educate about mm-hmm. mental health. But do you feel like, you know, in a way, maybe your organization is already making a difference in Winona and already starting these kinds of conversations?
I think it is. I think we've started the conversations and we've got a long way to go, but I think that we're kind of cracking the surface here, kind of warming up, and I think that there's a lot of great things to come yet from our organization, but I do think that we've made an impact already.
Carol Dahl El-Hindi is here with us today to talk about Solomon's Song, a nonprofit organization in Winona that's increasing awareness about mental health issues and suicide prevention. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on mental health in the Coulee region with leaders from a new initiative to better coordinate resources in the La Crosse area. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to some of the resources we talked about today. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about mental health resources and awareness in the Coulee region. Earlier this summer, the La Crosse Medical Health Science Consortium was awarded $1.5 million to coordinate and expand behavioral health services in the county. Now the group is gearing up for their first steps toward a more connected system of mental health resources. Joining us in studio are Catherine Kolkmeyer, Consortium Director, and Heather Quackenboss, Coordinator for the consortium's new behavioral health project. So the consortium was awarded, you know, a Changemaker grant back in June through the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Program at the Medical College of Wisconsin. You know, Catherine, what's been happening with the project over the last few months?
Well, we've been spending the last couple of months just getting all of the pieces in place, and part of that is including hiring our staff. And so bringing Heather in as our coordinator of the project, and we also have hired a half-time evaluator, Diana Diaz-Granados, and they are both on staff now. We've also been working with the other communities that were awarded. So 10 communities received the grant, and they've been getting us together once a month to work together on project planning and getting started in terms of where we're going to head for the next 5 years.
And so the project doesn't have a name yet, but can you, you know, talk a little bit about what the end goal is?
Well, the end goal is very simple, and that's improve behavioral health in the community. How we get there is going to depend on a lot of different factors, but what we're trying to do is this is an attempt by the funder to really invest in 10 different communities at the same time so that we can all work on the same topic all at once, but in coordination with one another. So we can all do separate projects that may or may not relate to one another, but we have each other's support. We can learn from each other's mistakes and successes and address coordinated behavioral health in a broader way. So what this means is that we're looking for ways that we can do something different from what's been done before. There's a lot of services that are offered by a lot of different agencies and organizations and groups in the community, but what can we do at a broader level? What can we do to help sort of bring this all together in a bigger picture?
And Heather, you know, as Catherine mentioned, you were brought onto the project in the past couple of months. You know, why do you think these goals are important for the county?
You know, we've really been looking at mental health and becoming more aware of our own mental wellness. And in doing that, we see sometimes that there are people who need a little more help, and there are people who say, wow, I didn't realize I need help. So we have, what we're seeing is more going on. And with that, there's people who really need some help in terms of a psychiatrist or a therapist. And then we see some people who might be on the other end of that spectrum who need a little bit of help, but maybe not quite as much as somebody else. So we're looking at things and really trying to determine who needs what, what's out there and available for people, what do we still need, what's working that could maybe expand, and bringing all of that together.
And what drew you to this project?
You know, I used to work with mental health in my old career. And after working at the Community Foundation and getting involved a little bit in projects here and a little bit in projects there, this really showed that I can bring out my passion and really dive into mental health and really make a difference in something.
And Catherine, you know, this grant is through the La Crosse Medical Health Science Consortium. Can you, you know, talk a little bit about the different groups that are involved in the consortium?
Sure. This actually started out of an effort where we looked at ourselves as an organization a couple of years ago and said, what could we be doing together even better as partners? And so all of our partner organizations and the United Way came together for a strategic planning session. And one of the issues that really rose to the top was mental health. When this grant became available, it was a perfect fit for what we were already talking about. So the partners of the consortium, there are seven altogether, three of the higher ed institutions, UWL, Western, and Viterbo, two medical centers, the Gunderson and Mayo Clinic Health System, also the School District of La Crosse and the La Crosse County Health Department. So those are the seven partners of the consortium. When we decided to go after this grant, we wanted to broaden that team and bring in some of the coordinated efforts that are already happening in the community. So we reached out and brought in representatives from the Campaign to Change Direction, which is working with local businesses on awareness about mental illness and mental health challenges. We brought in the Great Rivers 211 program, and we also brought in the Mental Health Coalition. And so that was really the team that brought this together. We have a smaller team that is our steering committee that represents some of those organizations that's going to be working on this on a daily basis.
And do you think that, you know, because the consortium is such a collaborative group already, that it's really going to lend itself to helping better connect resources in our county?
I think so, because that's really our job. I mean, we are not in the business of providing services to anyone. We're not working with clients or customers or patients. We're working with organizations and trying to find ways to connect dots between projects that are already going on or efforts that need more support in the community. So this was a natural fit for us to help bring together and coordinate not so much the services that are already out there, but to find ways to connect them across disciplines, across sectors, and maybe bring people together who might not have worked together in the past.
And Heather, you know, I know you were talking about, you know, looking at behavioral health and looking at, you know, the spectrum of people needing resources, whether it's, you know, more of a traditional therapist setting or whether it's, not as traditional, more maybe a group setting, maybe a, you know, community group. You know, can you talk a bit about just the, you know, looking at this project is helping people in transition, because I know that that is also kind of a goal of the project. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, sure. And I think the neat thing about this project is we have this year to plan and to talk to people and to really go out to the agencies and say, what's really working with your agency and where are you seeing the good things happening? And also talk with the individuals of those agencies who might be dealing with their own mental health challenges so we can say, what is your passion and what has brought you here and why did you come here and what's working for you? What doesn't work for you? To really get some of those answers before we say, here's our project. So honestly, this is really, truly 1 year of planning, and getting the opportunity to do that is beautiful.
Yeah, you know, why is this unique that this grant allows for time to really come up with this planning, you know, for the project?
And that's more Catherine, because of the funder came up and said, we want to be change makers. We don't want to be grant makers. And so often a grant maker is somebody who's reacting to a grant application. You know, we might put an RFP out and say, we want, you know, somebody to fix physical health. And so everybody will come in with their idea and their strategies to fix physical health. And you're going to have 150 different ideas. And what they're doing this time is saying, all right, here's what we really want to do. We really want to improve behavioral health. And we want you to find some indicators or measures that really show what behavioral health looks like in your community. And then figure out all those factors that go into it, all of the populations, and then come up with those strategies. So we are not close to coming up with strategies right now. We're coming up with how do we measure this in our community, and we're looking at all of those factors that go into it so we can then look at those and say, all right, here's what's working, here's where we need that help, and here's what we can all do together.
Catherine, do you have other thoughts on you know, why this planning process is, you know, different, is unique?
Well, for one thing, a lot of grantors don't provide that. I mean, there are a lot of things that traditionally grantors will not provide, and one is time to plan, paid time to plan. One is staff, and one is a lot of time to get the work done, and this grant does all three of those things. And I think a lot of that is that the funder has been really responsive to people who have been granted funding in the past. This funder we've been working with for the last 9 years for our Alcohol Coalition, and I've had many opportunities to talk with them and to give feedback on the work that we're doing and how it works with the funding that we are provided. And one of the things that we've said is you can't accomplish a whole lot in 2 or 3 years. You really do need a longer time period. The grant periods are now much longer. This is an 8-year period. This year right now, this first year of planning is the one that's funded at present. And the purpose of this year is then to come up with the plan for the next 7 years. So it's actually going to be in several phases. But having a whole year to plan with a full-time person and a half-time person on staff is incredibly unusual. And as Heather said, this is a strategic choice on the part of the funder, because it's not just finding a bunch of organizations or a bunch of communities who want to do this, but strategically choosing a topic that they have heard is of utmost importance in so many parts of the state, and giving these 10 communities the opportunity to work together. So one of the things that we're doing in the meantime during this process is that we have a very structured one-year learning community, which is where all 10 of the communities get together, and we're walking through a very deliberate process of taking a step back, not jumping right into creating strategies, not jumping right into solutions, but really identifying what the issues are, really identifying what moves the needle and what doesn't, and what do we have influence over and what do we not, what influences what happens in our community the most, what is the environment that we're working in, you know, what is the community will, what is the community understanding of mental health, and just looking at it from many different angles so that we know exactly what we're approaching and how to go about doing that. So it's a different way of looking at things.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about a new project to coordinate behavioral health resources in La Crosse County. We're here with Catherine Kolkmeyer, Director of the La Crosse Medical Health Science Consortium, and Heather Quackenboss, Coordinator for the new Behavioral Health Project. And so, Catherine, can you talk a little bit about the other communities that were also, you know, involved in this this project, and how La Crosse might kind of compare to them?
It's interesting that we've really enjoyed getting to know everybody from the other communities. So there are 10 communities overall, and they are from all over the state. Some of them are single counties, like our project. Some of them are multiple counties working together. One is a tribal community, the Lac du Flambeau tribe, which is also working as a county community. So everybody's in different stages. Some of them came in with existing coalitions that were already working on mental health. Some of them are very specific to a certain population, like working with children. Others are putting it together as a part of this grant. Our organization and our group that put together our grant really wanted to go in without anything preconceived. We didn't go in as an existing coalition. The consortium obviously existed already, but we didn't have this particular focus. And so I think that we're kind of right in the middle. Some were already ready to hit the ground running and had projects in mind, and others didn't. So I think that we're right in line with the rest of the groups.
And so, you know, Heather, well, you know, what is this? We've kind of talked a little bit already about, you know, there are resources, there are groups in La Crosse already kind of working on behavioral health. But, you know, what would you describe the state? You know, are there enough resources for the need in our community?
You know, it really depends on your situation. You know, sometimes you might have very good insurance and you can call and you can get your child in for some different issues, whether it be anxiety or depression or something else. You might call, you know, a health institution and say, you know, here's what I'm dealing with, and you might have a 6-month wait. So everyone gets a little bit of a different experience, and then they need to figure out what to do with that. And I know that people say, well, the the answer is just to have more providers. And I know that the Medical College of Wisconsin is working on some of that, but it's a small part of the answer. So we're really looking at what can our community do? What can you do at the YMCA where you don't maybe think of having mental health? What can you do at some of the at the school? You know, if a student's having an issue and needs some help, what can you do? What can you do to prevent some of these things from happening? How can we teach maybe some mindfulness or some, you know, stress relieving activities to help people deal with what they need to deal with? So there's all kinds of answers, and there's all kinds of people doing things right now. We just really need to know what is really working and go with that.
And so do you think that awareness about, you know, the importance of behavioral health and this need for services, do you think there's an increased awareness about that?
As a parent, I see that. I see my son being very open and his friends who are about 14 being very open about that. And I don't remember being open about that at all at 14. So, yes, I think I can say as a parent observing, absolutely, I see that.
And Catherine, what are your thoughts? Do you think that, you know, the community is becoming more aware about these issues?
I think so. I think as a society in general, people are starting to talk about it more. And certainly among young people, there are a lot of services that have been made available that get kids to talk about it more, which is wonderful because that can start a generational shift towards making this more open. One of the comparisons I've always heard is the comparison to talking about cancer. That 30, 40 years ago, people wouldn't use the word cancer. They would talk about it in secret. They would talk in hushed tones about cancer because this was the terrible thing you wouldn't talk about. And that's the place that mental health fits right now. That's how we talk about it or don't talk about it. I think one of the things in terms of services, like Heather said, it's not just about creating more services or creating more providers. That's an important piece of it. But there's another element early on, which is working with all community members to better cope with issues, the mental health issues themselves, and to help their neighbors, their family members, their friends, their social structure work with the challenges that they're facing. One thing about mental illness is that it does cross lines. It doesn't fit into a particular demographic group. It doesn't fit into a particular neighborhood. What does become a difference across neighborhood lines or across income lines is the ability to get those services. So if we can strengthen people's ability to identify and address and help each other up front with mental health challenges, that's part of it. It doesn't sound as structured and as easy and as clean as trying to develop more mental health services in the community. But it does build something in the community where we can all rely on each other a little bit better.
And Catherine, why is it important that, different providers, different types of agencies are having this conversation about how they're treating behavioral health? Why is it important that they are aware of what the other is doing?
Well, partly because people grow older, people change jobs, they change their schools. We who are the patients or who are the folks who are dealing with whatever mental health issues we have are moving from high school to college to jobs or from the jail population to the work population or from some transition in their lives where we might have to change providers. So if you get really connected to your high school guidance counselor and then you finish school and you go out into the work world, you might not have a contact there. So it's important for the providers who are assisting everyone in the community with all of their mental health are aware of what each patient has or what each student has to deal with. And so they can have a nice easy handoff and are using the same language and are using some of the same protocols so that everybody can get a consistency of care across the continuum.
And Heather, you know, are you finding that it's common that people kind of fall through the cracks when making these sorts of life transitions?
Oh, sure. And we all have very different social networks. What I do in my free time might not be what Catherine does in her free time. And you know, maybe Catherine goes someplace or has a group of friends that they can really talk with each other and they help each other out, and maybe I don't have that. So in learning some of the different things that go on in the community and where people really go is going to be important to help them build those social networks.
Absolutely. And so, you know, looking forward, you know, Heather, what are things that are coming up in the future that people will start to be able to see for this project?
Well, people can probably expect a call from me. I will be talking to as many people as I can in the community, and not just people who provide care or, you know, are maybe on the fringe of treatment or work in an agency where they do have some different mental health programs, but also the folks who do have behavioral health challenges. I really want to know from people who deal with this every day what is going on and what might really help them, because that's really important, and those are the folks that we most want to help.
Absolutely. And, you know, Catherine, you know, what do you think are big things that are coming up for the consortium or for this project in particular?
I think with regard to this project, I'm excited to learn what we find out from the other communities and what they're going through, because so many of them are very similar, others are very different, but I think there's a lot to be learned because we're all dealing with people. We're all dealing with communities at a community level. And so it'll be interesting to see what comes out of the work that we're doing together as a learning community. I think one of the things that I'm looking forward to is it's not as exciting to talk about, but looking at some of the integration and some of the conversation and communication that happens between agencies so that there can be a better connection across the entire community, all of the people who provide services, all of the people who seek services, so that we all have a better understanding of the overall system that's available to us, whether it's within our friend networks or within a more formal healthcare system. So I think that bringing that together and connecting some of those dots is going to be really valuable.
Yeah, tell me just a little bit more about those issues.
Well, this actually started from a conversation that had begun within the Family Policy Board, where agencies who work with families and children have come together, and we're talking about the need for a common assessment tool. And what that means is that they wanted to have whenever a student or a patient or somebody comes and says, I feel like I have a mental health issue I want to be looked at, there is a common way of asking the same questions, finding out the same information, and being able to translate that information over to another organization so that that person can be referred where they need to go. And it's important for there to be these commonalities in the language that we're all using, the terminology that we're all using, so that when somebody is working with multiple systems, which a lot of people do, then they have that commonality between them so that they're not going to have to learn a whole new set of language to get from one system to the other. The other thing that is exciting about this is looking not just at a single person. Nobody is a single person by themselves. You have family, you have friends, you have coworkers, you have your social network, you have the people that you interact with on a daily basis. And you also have your providers who work with you for various health issues and mental health issues. And so when you look at that huge group of people, how is that influencing your mental health? How does the mental health of a parent impact the mental health of their children, and how does that then show up in the schools? So when you look at those sorts of connections, then it's important to not just look at an individual person. Don't look at just an individual child. Look at the whole world surrounding them that is influencing them, and to figure out ways that we can more broadly and more holistically approach what everybody is dealing with.
That's Catherine Kolkmeyer, director of the La Crosse Medical Health Science Consortium, here with us today to talk about the consortium's plans to unify behavioral health services in La Crosse County. Also joining our conversation is Heather Quackenboss, coordinator for the consortium's new behavioral health project. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Heather, you mentioned that, you know, you're definitely going to be reaching out to different agencies and resources. But are there, you know, the ways that the average person might be able to get involved in this project or keep up to date on what's happening?
You know, I don't think there is any person in our community that hasn't been touched by mental health, in all honesty. I mean, all of us have dealt with it, whether it be ourselves, our friends, our parents, our teachers, our coworkers, whoever that may be. And absolutely, we want the community involved. So yes, we do want to set things up where people can talk to us and let us know what's going on. And we're figuring some different things out. And, you know, we will certainly let you know when we have more information on any of that.
And is this a, you know, project different in that it is an 8-year long, you know, project and the grant lasts for that, you know, amount of time? Is it different for you guys to plan kind of for the long game?
I think it's exciting and it's hopeful, because if you only have a year or two to try to get something done and try to show that you have outcomes and that they're positive, it's really hard to make a change in 1 to 2 years, especially when it is a problem like mental health challenges or alcohol or any of those things that we don't want to talk about. And to start that awareness, to start those conversations, and then to start doing things, 5 years is good. Mm-hmm.
And Catherine, yeah, I see you kind of agreeing, you know. How do you think this project will be different from previous grant projects you've been involved in?
I think it's much more of an investment in something very broad. I mean, we don't have a project to start with. It's not like we walked in with an idea and said we want to accomplish X, Y, and Z. We came in with an issue that was presented by this funder, and we agreed that this is an issue in our community, and we were asked to identify what our needs are. And you've mentioned quite a few of those during the course of the conversation. I'm excited that this is an opportunity for all of these partners. You know, we have the health systems, we have the education institutions, we have the United Way as partners who are helping to support this along the way, and we know that they're all invested in it. And so bringing in all the different organizations that we haven't yet talked to and to find out the scope of what's happening in our community is going to be hugely valuable. The other piece that comes into it, we've mentioned the several phases, the first phase being this 1 year of planning, followed by 5 years of implementing that plan. There are 2 years at the end as well that are there for sustainability and what they're calling transformation. So what that means is that's where we start, or actually continue the work of making sure that whatever gets started with this project remains embedded in the community. It becomes part of the landscape. It becomes part of the institutions and the organizations and the people in the community so that it continues on in the long run beyond the scope of the grant. So that's an exciting piece that you don't normally see in grants either. They just usually will say, tell us how you're going to sustain this, as opposed to giving you 2 years to actually do that. So that'll be an exciting thing to have all of these partners running alongside each other with the backing of all the other organizations and the other communities, rather, who will be supporting us along the way.
And why is that longevity piece, you know, so important when looking at an issue like behavioral health, something that, you know, has been a problem, you know, for many years and will probably continue to be a problem?
I think it's because mental health is something that is extremely complex. It doesn't have a single cause. It doesn't have a single way of showing itself in a community or even in a single person. Everybody reacts differently to different conditions. Even two people with depression might have completely different symptoms. And as Heather mentioned, we all react to them differently and have different access to the services to help us. And we'll react differently to those services. So it's an extremely complex problem. It doesn't have a simple solution. It doesn't have a single solution. It has multiple mechanisms for addressing it in a community. It's also not going to go away. This isn't a disease to be cured. This is something that is always going to be there as a part of every single person. We're all somewhere on a spectrum of mental health and mental wellness. And we have to be more aware of that and more aware of how to provide that environment where we can maintain good, strong mental well-being. And so that's going to take a lot of time, and it's going to continue for the rest of our lives. And so that's why I think this is important to really put a lot of time into and to take the time up front to identify what it is we're dealing with.
And so, you know, through the consortium, as you mentioned, the school district in La Crosse is part of that, and, you know, as well as universities and different groups. You know, Heather, how is that also shaping the project that, you know, you guys are looking at not just helping, you know, kids or not just helping college students or, you know, populations transferring, you know, out of the prison system or, you know, that it's the whole community. Is that a challenge?
Of course it's a challenge. I think, you know, even if you took a simpler problem like allergies, even that, people are going to react differently to different things. And there's, you know, these solutions that you can try, and you can do those, and hopefully something works. With a mental illness, you don't know how a person's going to react, and you don't know how their family's going to react to that. So there's all of these reactions that travel down the line and affect everyone. If you are a student in an elementary school class and you have some anxiety, and your teacher needs to know what to do, those other students need to know what to do, they may or may not treat you well, they may call you that kid and ostracize you, and so you come home with that, and then your home life is going to be different, and then that home life might be taken to work for the parents the next day. So it just keeps traveling on, and it's one of those issues that we look at what is that root cause and what can we really do and how can we help all of those people to make that one child's life better, but also mom and dad's and the teachers and the students and on and on and on. So that's what's going to be important too, is to really look at how can we help widen what we do.
Mm-hmm. And have there been already projects that have started kind of building towards this in our community?
Our community has really been wonderful. There are some programs, there are some drop-in centers, there are some things that people really do get a lot of help from. And we are so excited to talk to them and look at what else can be done, maybe expanding those. We don't know yet. We can't make any promises because we don't know. And that's so important that the community knows we are planning this. We don't have an idea. We are not coming in with something preconceived that here's what we're going to do. We want the answers from the community to see what is really going on, what is really needed, and what's really going to work.
And Catherine, from your perspective, you know, already in these planning process, you know, what's one thing that you really feel like is going to help the as you develop this project?
I think that the approach that we're taking, and this is something that's been guided in these learning communities, like I said, it's a very structured process, and it's one that I haven't followed before. Typically, when you do strategic planning, you look at what your goal is, and then you figure out the strategies that you're going to take to get to those goals. This process is a little different. We're looking at the result we want to achieve, which is improved behavioral health. And then we have to ask the question, what influences that? What indicates whether we have achieved that or not? And then look at the factors that push that needle up or down. So how are we, what happens in our community that it causes the behavioral health of the community to be good or to be strong or to be weaker and need help? And then we need to look at all of those and decide what we have the most influence over and how can we push that needle one way or another. So it's a multi-pronged approach. None of that involved strategy. The strategies come at the end. The strategies come once you have a full understanding of the whole mechanism of how things interact with one another to produce behavioral health in a community. And I like that approach. I've never taken that approach before, and I think that's going to help create a really strong project because we will always know what we're shooting for. We will always know whether we're getting there or not, and we'll have a really clear guide on how to achieve what we're looking for.
And do you think that this project and kind of the things that you are, you know, learning through it could serve as a model to work on other issues affecting our community?
Oh, I can already think of ways that approach can be taken. And in fact, that's an approach that many people have used in other projects with other topics. And so definitely it applies to a lot of the work that we're already doing. It can be modified for other projects in the community. So definitely.
We've been talking with Catherine Kolkmeyer, Director of the La Crosse Medical Health Science Consortium, and Heather Quackenboss, Coordinator for the new Behavioral Health Project from the Consortium, about next steps and plans to connect and expand mental health resources in La Crosse County. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to more information on some of the resources we talked about today. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.